Hey, thanks for queuing up the podcast. Before we jump into this episode, I just wanted to make you aware of three music marketing resources with an emphasis on one in particular. There's a good chance you're already familiar with my flagship title called the Guerrilla Music Marketing Handbook, and perhaps even the 5-Minute Music Marketer. And both of those titles are well worth your time, but I want to make you aware of another title that doesn't quite get the attention as those two do. And that one is called The 9 Irrefutable Laws of Music Marketing. I'm really proud of this book, and I think you would get a lot out of it. And basically what it covers is what I consider to be 9 timeless principles of music marketing. So regardless of the new website, app, or tool, because they're always changing, as you know, these are principles you can apply no matter what. They're timeless. They tap into that eternal connection that people have with music and with music makers. So I think you would get a lot out of this book. It's available on Amazon in at least a dozen countries in both paperback and ebook formats. So go check it out, The 9 Irrefutable Laws of Music Marketing. And now, enjoy the episode.
It makes perfect sense. And yeah. You even wrote something in your book about that the affirmations should inspire action.
Yeah.
Which I think is important, because I think part of the Stuart Smalley joke about affirmations is people who think they can just sit there and say words and they wake up the next day and their life is different, which maybe happens, but not usually.
Yeah. Yeah. And also some cynics, and I really haven't gotten a lot of pushback at all on this, but I just know there are people out there who think that your positive thinking is burying your head in the sand, ignoring your problems. I'm very rational. I'm very feet on the ground with this stuff. And I think we have to acknowledge that there are challenges in life. There are things that go wrong. People that get sick, and people that will treat us in ways that are not very considerate. Accidents, there's all kinds of things that happen, and we don't ignore that. We acknowledge those challenges. If there's feelings of sadness, loss, we have to fully feel those things. We don't want to suppress them. But there's a difference between that, acknowledging those problems, but keep from making it part of your story ongoing perpetually. And also you don't have to live there forever, so you can acknowledge problems, you can deal with them, feel the feelings, but then transmute that into a lesson, into a better way of living, it's not about just, I'm happy, I'm going to ignore everything around me, I'm not seeing anything, but it's just choosing to do the best that you can with this life that has ups and downs, but also be willing to celebrate the ups, because a lot of times we just focus only on the bad stuff, And we have to balance that out with gratitude and looking for the positive and having reasons to celebrate, which is why I like doing improv and all this creative stuff to share some laughter,
Those are really excellent points that you're making, and I'd like to hear more about that, especially during this time that we've been in of people staying at home and not being able to spend a lot of time with people. This is May, which is Mental Health Month, and it seems like there's a gradient in what you're talking about, having gratitude, appreciating the things that are good in life, and also acknowledging when something, I don't even know if problem is the right word, but mm-hmm. when we need to get help. So I was listening to someone who was talking about loneliness and how people have been lonely during the pandemic. And he said, if it gets bad enough, you should get therapy. Yeah. And I was listening to that and thinking, okay, how is somebody supposed to know if it's gotten bad enough? And our society, I think, still has some pretty big stigmas about mental health, mental illness. You don't have to be suicidal to be depressed or lonely. And so how do you know if that's something that you can just say affirmations about the good things in life, or when maybe you need to seek therapy? What do you suggest for that?
It's for each person to decide when they've gotten to that point. And so one other thing I realized after having done these affirmations, and you know, the YouTube channel has 208,000 subscribers and over 1 million views and just many, many comments every day. And so I'm getting more, a stronger and stronger sense of what attracts people to this stuff. So admittedly, many people that seek out this stuff on YouTube are going through a challenge. I mean, hopefully there are people that their life is going well. They just want to make it better. That's what I tend, like, more aspirational motivations. But quite often people are trying to relieve a pain that they're feeling. Either they just went through a breakup, they lost their job, they're struggling financially, they just feel like they've maybe lost their mojo, you know, they're happy, their joy of life. And so they are seeking these things out when they know that they need something to lift them up. And most people, I guess, can, through whatever affirmations and other things that they, proactive things that they do in their lives, can do it on their own or with the help of friends. But yes, there, if you're, and I readily admit, if you're really down in the dumps, if you're feeling about harming yourself or others, that's certainly the extreme case of that. But I partnered with a company that has sponsored a lot of podcasts. You may have heard of betterhelp.com. It's like an online therapy thing. And I have actually a link, betterhelp.com/Bob Baker, where you can go and check that out. And I totally encourage that. If you're living alone in these pandemic times, you can still communicate with people. Yeah, there are two things that I've heard. I'm not a licensed therapist, but with depression, the things I've repeatedly seen in the things that I've read is like physical activity. So instead of when you just sit around the house and you're inactive and you're just regurgitating your own thoughts, that's probably what leads to this spiral down, or part of it. At least I've never really experienced severe depression, you know, just kind of apathy is the worst that it gets for me. But I think being active, so getting outside, taking a walk, working in the garden, just doing something this physical is one thing. And then social interaction is a really important aspect, which of course we've been limited with this past year. So get on the phone, get on Zoom, get on, try to interact with people who you think will hopefully uplift you. And unfortunately, there are some people that their family and friends maybe aren't the most supportive all the time. So, but yeah, if you feel, I've gone to therapists here and there at different times of my life. So there's nothing wrong with that. So if you feel you could use that, seek it out either locally or do an online thing like the BetterHelp option. And that's a great point, Laurel. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Bob. And I am curious to know how you come up with your affirmations, because you said that you post two a week and you've been doing that now for years, right? Or for quite a while.
Yeah. There's many hundreds of them on the site.
So how do you, I mean, that seems like a lot of affirmations to come up with. What inspires you, and tell us a little about your process.
So, yeah. So it's a combination of, certainly it's like instinct, or what do I feel like I have to share, but I also am, I pay attention to what's, and this may be a little geeky, but YouTube gives creators, so people like me who have their own channel and their topic that they give, you know, the YouTube thrives or relies on the creators, even though they may be doing some original content now, but many thousands, millions of creators to thrive on the channel to create the stuff that brings viewers back. And so they give creators a lot of tools, and there's a dashboard called Creator Studio where you can go in and look. I know that like 70% of my viewers are women. I can tell what times of day. I see what topics get more views than on others. I can even look at an individual video and see where the viewership drops off. Like, what was I saying? What were they doing? You know, so you can really go as deep as you want down that rabbit hole. So I do pay attention to that stuff. That's the analytical part of my mind. And I combine that with just intuitive. I've been doing this journaling in the morning where sometimes I ask myself a question where I'll say, what message do I need to share today or this week? And sometimes I'll see like images and symbols and it might inspire a particular theme. So in addition to the topics, like the most popular topics are things like abundance. So there's always, you know, abundance and money related things are always going to be popular. Gratitude, success, confidence. I mix in some health and love related things. So there are like categories of topics. And so you would think, oh, I've already done an affirmation thing. Why I can't do another? Well, there's so many different ways of doing it. So in many of my videos, there are I am affirmations, and there may be 20 or more affirmations in a 10. And most of my videos are around 10, 12 minutes long. I have some that are 5. I'm experimenting with some longer form ones, especially some sleep ones. But most of them will have like, yeah, a couple dozen or more affirmations where I leave space for them to repeat them, the I am statements back to themselves. However, I found that while they're not as popular, I also like doing you are statements because a lot of people, like we mentioned, don't have those encouraging voices. Maybe their parents, their grandparents, their mentors, their friends haven't been encouraging them, and that's been lacking in their lives. So a lot of people really, like some people just are in tears when they hear somebody saying, you are worthy. You are deserve happiness and success. And so so I do some you are ones too. I also sometimes I'll take one mantra or one affirmation and make it like a mantra where it's the focus of the entire thing. And I'll give them space to think about it, repeat it, and we'll focus on just one thing. So I'm always experimenting with approaches, even within the same topic. There's some videos where I say I'll state a you are statement, like you are worthy, and then I ask the person to repeat it back to themselves, I am worthy. So they're getting both angles, you know. So it's been amazing to see the different ways that you can approach it and different ways you can mix and match them and just keep cranking stuff out. So I guess that's the short answer. Not so short answer of how I come up with stuff.
Yeah, that's great. And then do you have your own music that plays in the background?
Yeah. I mean, there's some royalty-free music, and even YouTube has a library where you can, because they're pretty robust at, like I made a mistake in the early days of doing these things where I would grab some music that I liked, but they have systems in place where it'll recognize, oh, this music belongs to this person, so you can't monetize this video, or sometimes they will take it down if the copyright holder. So yeah, being a musician and knowing my way around the software, yeah, all of my background. Well, there's a couple of exceptions. I've had some friends that I either paid or they bartered or whatever with them to create some background music. But most of it, I create myself. There's a friend of mine, Gregory Kane, who's in California, who has done a lot of like new agey soundscape stuff. And actually, I've been using one of his tracks a lot over the last 6 months or so, but I either own the rights to it or I created it myself. Yeah. And it's important for me that the music is there to support, like it's almost, you shouldn't almost like not be aware of it. It's there to create an atmosphere, but if the music is standing out, if you're focusing on it more than the words, then yeah. I'm really picky about the type of music that I have in the background.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
Yeah, that's good, because I've heard some guided meditation videos or tapes that have, for example, birds in the background, and to me they're very shrill sounding, and so they keep pulling me out of the meditative state. So yeah, that's great that you have soothing music.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering, in your book you have chapters that have affirmations and you say to repeat them for 21 days. So are you talking about taking one statement to repeat for 21 days or all of the affirmations for health and healing for 21 days? How does that work?
Yeah, the intention is for the, and I basically, a little more than the first half, the first 60% of the book is five chapters where I talk about not only my story, but why affirmations are successful, best practices. And then the last, 40% of the book is a list of affirmations in seven different categories. And I basically, in anticipation of creating the audio version or the audiobook version of this, I basically, they were transcripts of seven of the YouTube videos that I thought were especially appropriate for this. The intention with it, I have a number of dozens of them that where I encourage people to listen to a particular video for 21 days. So that's the entirety. You would do that entire chapter or that entire video, repeat it for 21 days. Now, I'm not a stickler for that. You mentioned you're going to ask me about this. I'm more of a stickler for the daily practice. And if you listen to the same one for 21 days, great. But as long as you're doing something to affirm, especially in the morning, like setting the foundation for your day instead of just launching into your day and reacting to things, I think the daily practice is more important than what you listen to. But the reason there's a couple of reasons I did 21 days. It's often cited, even though there's some debate about it, that it takes at least 21 days to develop a habit. That's kind of common knowledge, even though that came out of the 60s and there's research now that shows it should be longer or whatever. Another reason that I use 21 days, and this is more the geeky analytical side, is that Deepak Chopra and Oprah Winfrey have for years been doing these 21-day meditation challenges that are very popular, and people go on YouTube searching for those. And so I specifically kind of tapped into the 21-day stream there by some people searching for 21-day challenges would find my stuff. So there's a little bit of a SEO, angle there to be, if I'm to be honest. But I think there's benefit. Yeah, people do it. They listen and people really benefit from listening to the same one over and over again, especially if there's a topic, that you're really needing some work on, whether it's abundance or health or relationships or whatever, or confidence. It's another big one that can be helpful. But people, it's funny, I missed a day. Do I need to start over? I get all the comments like, no, you don't have, do whatever is right for you. And if you get kind of tired of that one after 7 days, switch to another one. As long as you're listening to something that is empowering you every day, then I think that's the most beneficial thing, is to try to make this not just a 21-day process, but a lifetime, the lifestyle, just like eating well and exercising and all that stuff.
And how do you recommend that people not get overwhelmed? Like if somebody reads this book and they read all of the affirmations, it's a lot. So How do you suggest that somebody choose where to start, and especially if they've never done affirmations before?
Well, there's, like I said, the book has the seven lists of affirmations in seven different categories. The intention isn't to read all seven every day. I even say in one of the chapters where I talk about the importance of making it a daily practice, if you only have 5 minutes, then just spend 5 minutes. And you can listen to recordings like the ones that I do, which would be great. You can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Bob Baker, or just search for Bob Baker on YouTube, and you pretty quickly find me and subscribe to the channel. So some people like listening to pre-recorded ones, but you can write out your own affirmations. You can record your own voice saying them on a voice memo. I actually, early on, early 90s, I did that. And I would I recorded myself saying affirmations, and then I would listen to them on a stationary bike when I would every morning. And it was influenced by Tony Robbins. I think I was really getting into Tony Robbins stuff back then. Personal power. But you can also print them out. You can put them on Post-it notes and put them up where you'll see them throughout your day, in the bathroom mirror, at your computer, in your car, on the dashboard. And so there are many ways just to stay focused on these empowering thoughts, because I like to use the term, we're firming up our filter. So just do what you can. It should not be a burden. Yeah. So if you certainly everybody could find 5 minutes a day, maybe either before you get out of bed or soon after you get out of bed, just to sit there. Or actually, you don't even have to sit there. A lot of people listen to these recordings while they're commuting, while they're driving, while they're walking the dog. So work them into your life in a way that works for you. This don't ignore them because you think it's going to be too much to take on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite affirmation that you say?
Oh boy. There's a couple that have, I kind of go through phases. There's a couple, one in particular I like a lot lately. I think, I did one recently where it was the focus. It wasn't the only affirmation, but it was a focus that I came back to. Is today I look for and appreciate the good. It's real simple, but today I look for and appreciate the good. And there's just, even though it's a short sentence, there's two aspects to that. It's like you're looking, you're anticipating for, you're going to go through your day looking for positive aspects, not making them up, but they're there the whole time. We're just not really aware of them. So you're going to be more present. You're going to look for signs of people being friendly, some people being compassionate, of the beauty. Maybe there's a path that you take or a drive that you take that you're thinking about something else. And today, maybe you're going to look for beauty or flower, plants flowering or whatever. So you're looking for that, and then you're appreciating it, which brings in gratitude, which is always really like the foundation for any, I think, personal development is being grateful for what you have before you can. It helps to allow more into your life. That sums it all up in a nice package. Today, I look for and appreciate the good.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
So, as we're wrapping up here, tell people how they can find your book, how they can subscribe to your YouTube channel, whatever else you want people to know about you and the wonderful work you're doing in the world.
Well, cool. Thanks for asking that. And I really appreciate this, Laurel. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm glad when you suggested that we do this. Yeah, it's been every bit as fun as I thought it would be. So the YouTube channel is my primary platform. Again, just you go there and look while you're logged into your account and look and search for Bob Baker, but it's youtube.com/Bob Baker. I also have a podcast. Well, I have a couple other ways that this material is available. There's an affirmation meditation podcast that's available on Spotify and Apple and all the platforms. I also have like 13 albums of this spoken word and also a little bit of musical, of positive music albums that are available on Spotify and Apple and all the places where streaming music is available. You have to search for my artist name there. That's Bob Baker's Inspiration Project. So again, that's a separate category. Like in Spotify, there's the podcast category, but there's also just the basic music, and most of it's music, but I have a lot of my spoken word stuff in there too. And then the book is The Power of Affirmations and Positive Self-Talk is available pretty much worldwide. And here it's disappearing again.
It's not disappearing.
There you go. Thank you. Yes. The post-it note version. But available certainly on Amazon, currently in paperback and ebook formats, but also Barnes & Noble. And this is the widest distribution I've ever gotten on any of my books. I really tried to make it widely available. It's very affordably priced because it's the paperback retails just for $9.95, the ebook for $4.99. And so made it really affordable and accessible. If someone wants to get an autographed copy, and you, especially if you don't live in, if I know you were in St. Louis, we could probably arrange to meet. But if you're outside of St. Louis, you can go to my website devoted to all this work, which is Bob Baker Inspiration. You see a pattern here, BobBakerInspiration.com, and scroll down a little bit on the homepage, and you'll find information on how to get an autographed copy of the book sent to you, along with a music CD that Pookie and I put out, and some other digital goodies for one low price. I'll ship that to you priority. So those are the various ways that people can get their hands or their ebook readers on it.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you for your time today. Thank you so much for doing this wonderful work in the world. I want to say that personally, I have been inspired by you in so many ways. And I mean, you've helped me with my own writing and my own artistic creativity. So I encourage everybody to get the book because, as you said at the beginning of this interview, you have experience with this. It's not that you're just, you know, quoting theory. It's from your own life and your own practice. So thank you so much.
Laurel, again, thanks a lot. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
All right.